Anlarsın Cenab-ı Hak Ayrıca Lütuf Fazıcı Mehmet Ali Sıfası Poğuçı Sanvara Rahip Kalender Ma My Beloved Sanma My Beloved Show me the path of Kalender, because you know, just go just with laws and regulations, just with limits and boundaries, then the path may be difficult. So now there must be a path, must be a way. Then we can expedite the whole journey and make it enjoyable. So now the method that makes it enjoyable and expedites the journey, that method is called Tariqa-e-Kalender. Then Tariqa-e-Kalender, what is the very essence of it? Tariqa-e-Kalender is Tariqa-e-Muhabbat. Add the element of Muhabbat. So this was when I was there, maybe 79 somewhere. I wrote a letter. There was no email at that time. Everything was going still calm, easy and slowly. So you had a time to sit back, relax, understand things in perspective. Now, this path of Muhabbat, what does it entail? So all of us want to expedite the journey, because go and go with the speed and come to our goal with ease, enjoyment. At the end of the journey, we don't want any regrets. I put my energy, my time, and now at the end I'm seeing this regrets. الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. That the efforts went just to void. In their minds they were thinking that they're doing something. But really what happened? All the efforts just went wasted. So now we have to discover what is this path of love. So when I thought about it, then thoughts flood your mind. From Allah Ta'ala. So just before namaz, these thoughts were running through my mind. Then as you are thinking, Allah sends a flood sometimes, many times sends a flood. And there's so many thoughts that come in that you get amazed that you just ask Allah Ta'ala a little bit and how much He does. You take one step and He comes running. So that's the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Kindness and compassion for Allah Ta'ala. So most of the answer is in Surah Ma'idah. So in Surah Ma'idah, if you look at the whole theme from the beginning, it carries on. It's mainly directed to the Christians, mainly towards them. And then Muslims are warned about the association. أَتَتَّخِذُ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ أَوْلِيَا. Don't take them as friends. And the singular of أَوْلِيَا is Wali. Wali means friend. One is wali. Wali normally they refer to a ruler, someone that's administrating, so that's called a wali. And a wali is called a friend. So don't take them as friends. أَتَتَّخِذُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَكُمْ. Again, same surah. لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَكُمْ هُزُوًا وَلَعِبًا. Don't take these people who have taken your religion as a play and sport. Because their own religion, الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَهُ وَلَعِبًا, they have made their own religion just a sport and an entertainment. There's nothing in their religion. You look now at the Christian, right? And what's the whole religion? It's just an entertainment. Some music that you see, blasting. Some photography, right? Some photos of Jesus, of Mary, and the child. That's what you'll see. So they've taken the whole religion just as an entertainment. So when you take it as an entertainment, then the very spirit of the religion leaves you. Because now, what you're looking for is entertainment. So make it more and more exciting, entertainment. You're going on the old way, then there's no entertainment, there's nothing exciting, so make it exciting, bring some entertainment to it. So that's what they did with the religion. And again, Allah reminds you, ترى كثيرا منهم يتولون الذين كفروا. And what was the reason for them being cursed? لعين الذين كفروا. Dawud alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam cursed them. And Isa alayhi salam is known for his kindness, but in spite of his being known for his kindness, he still cursed them. So then Allah gives the reasons. لعين الذين ترى كثيرا منهم. يَتَوَلَّوْنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. So wrong people joining up with the wrong people. Again, فَتَرَى الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ يُسَارِعُونَ فِيهِمْ. Whose hearts have got a sickness. So when the Quran Sharif says the heart has got a sickness, what it means? When you say that there's a sickness, there's an illness, there's an ailment, it means that organ or that limb is not functioning right. Ailment, is the eye functioning right? No. Ear is not functioning right. So when you say that the hearts have got a sickness, that means the heart is not functioning right. And when you say it's not functioning right, what do you mean? It's skipping a beat or the arteries are blocked? No, that doesn't mean. The heart was supposed to be taking right. In English we'll say mind, in Arabic we'll say heart. Right? I don't want to get into the whole discussion, but in Arabic you talk about understanding, intelligence, reasoning, then you talk about the heart. From قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. So Arabic would say, you'll say English mind, brains, in Arabic you'll say heart. So now, those who's got a sickness in the heart, ailment, that means the heart is not functioning right. That means they've got a spiritual problem. يُسَارِعُونَ فِيهِمْ. They're running in the midst. They're going around, very active, in the midst of the wrong people. And what they say, يَقُولُنَ نَخَافُ أَن تُصِيبَنَا دَائِرَةً. See, we are intelligent people. So when we are intelligent people, then we're going to go on one side. If something strikes this side, then we know we've got an asylum this side. See, that's what they were saying. See, if something strikes this party here, this party is very strong on the right. Something strikes there, then we've got an asylum. We've got a recourse, something to fall back on. So this verse was revealed. When the verse was revealed, then there were two people, Ubadah ibn Samit and Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, right? Ubadah, both of them had a lot of ties with the wrong. Jews, etc., them. But when the verse revealed, ترى كثيرا منهم ترى الذين في قلوبهم مرض يسارعون فيهم. When this verse was revealed, Ubadah bin Samit, straight away he broke up. But now that means his heart was good. Heart was powerful, there was no sickness. When he heard this, stay straight. And then you had, on the other end, you had Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the head of the Munafiqeen, right, the main chief of the Munafiqeen. So he says, Nakhafu an yusibana da'ira. See, still the whole thing is not set out in Medina yet. There is a struggle, there is a tower. Wifaq and Jusa, there is a struggle carrying on, right? We don't know which side is going to fall. For this side or that side. So, Abdullah ibn Ubay, what he said? See, I'm an intelligent person. I got sight and vision. The person, whatever he did. But I got sight and vision. If something doesn't work out here, and I broke away from them, will have any face to go back to them. That's what he said. And Ubadah, radiyallahu anhu, said, Allah, I believe in Allah Ta'ala. I believe in his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He doesn't want it, he doesn't want this, so I'm breaking and cutting off. Irrespective of my relationship, my friendship with them, whatever, so I'm not worried about that. So, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he wanted to play a balancing act, the side and that side, both sides, so he's balanced this side. If the Muslim party wins, then, well, I was with you. أَلَمْ نَسْتَحْوِذْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. We would do all the time. أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. Right. And if the other party wishes, wins, أَلَمْ نَسْتَحْوِذْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَمْ نَعَكُمْ أَلَمْ نَكُمْ. See, the Muslims could have just rolled over you, right? They would have just drove over you. So we guarded you. أَلَمْ نَعَكُمْ أَلَمْ نَكُمْ. So they want to play a double role, a balancing act. So if things don't work out with the Muslim side, the Muslim party, then we got a recourse, we got asylum here. So we're with you, you know, all the time we're with you. So we're intelligent, we got sight. Now, this theme is being repeated in so surah from the beginning right to the end. That's the theme. So don't you befriend these people. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. You know, befriending them will be counted from amongst them. تَتَّخِذُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَكُمْ هُزُوًا وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. They will be counted from amongst them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah doesn't guide the Zalims. That means these people here that are playing this type of a role, then they won't get that guidance from Allah Ta'ala. Their minds will be in a state of confusion all the time. Because Allah has left them. See what how the first thing. La yahdil qawm, we won't give guidance. See, his mind will be always in a turmoil. Do this or do this. Is it right or not right? There'll be a constant debate in his mind. Mind won't be settled. Because Allah Pak says, I've moved away the hidayat. And Allah Pak is the one that gives hidayat. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهَدِي مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. So he guides. So the guidance is from him. So now you're going to play this type of a role, then we're going to just take it away from you altogether. So this theme is followed right through the surah. So that means to get that muhabbat, we're talking of muhabbat, right? To get that muhabbat, we'd have to associate with the right and break away from the wrong. To associate with the right, and you have to break away from the wrong. Right? And that is why in every witr namaz, you have to repeat this dua, نَخْلَعُ وَنَتْرُكُ وَنْيَفْجُرُكُ. We move away from those who disobey you, who break your law, we move away from them. Because if you associate with those that are breaking away from you, right, then the first level will be that you'll say, hey, we can't be so hard. Let's be relaxed. Let's be relaxed. That's the first step. Too hard and rigid now to make parda, don't talk to girls, all that, become too hard. So let's play a little bit of a balancing, now we can maintain it. That's how you will think at first. But now then afterwards, the second level will be, now I need to maintain the relationship. Now if I'm going to be too hard, then how am I going to maintain the relationship? Now, they're watching sports. So it's alright, sports now is nothing, not so serious now. And then, some ulama are saying that this type of movies is also right. So I don't want to become an extremist now. Just play a bit of a balance. I'm not a buzrug now. Overnight you can't become a buzrug. So you see how you start thinking. And who's guiding you? So Allah says, La yahdil al-qawm, I won't guide these people. But then think who's guiding you. From this point onwards, who's taken over? You know, many years ago, in Sabarhamkai, that aquarium. So we saw one fish now, that thing still catches my mind, you know. Big, massive fish, and it's got a small fish on its head. So I said, what is this fish? No, they call it the pilot fish. So why they call it the pilot? That thing is the brain. That thing guides the whole, that big mass, that thing guides it. For now, that thing is not Allah Ta'ala. This big fish took it like Allah Ta'ala. Because small fish is guiding right through. But the moment that small fish apprehends some danger, that thing will jump off. Jump off and look for another vehicle. So this vehicle now, when he apprehended some danger. So when he apprehended danger, he will move up on to something else. Now Allah Ta'ala is that one who takes care under all circumstances. And this thing is just for the convenience. When it's right for it, it's with you. And when there is problem, it dumps you, finished, abandons you. So, now, we're talking of that vehicle that will expedite this whole journey. So this has got two parts. The one part is that person that will become an impediment on this path here. Then no matter how difficult it may seem, then I don't want to be with him. Now how do you know that he'll become an impediment? You understand it in this way, that is he bringing you too close to Allah Ta'ala, or is he just leading you away? And are you a strong leader? See, to be guiding, you have to have two things. One is to see that, are you a strong leader? That come what may, I'm going to go on this way. I'm not going to break away. Right? And number two is that you have the understanding. أَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ شَيْءَ وَلَا يَحْتَدُونَ When Allah Pak speaks about a guide, then the guide has to have two things. أَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ شَيْءَ وَلَا يَحْتَدُونَ They say, we'll follow our ancestral. So another says, to be able to guide, you need two things. You need a solid understanding, very sound understanding. And you need to be on the course. Now you don't have a very sound understanding, and nor do you know the course so well. Because you're going to come across one hurdle, and then you slip. Come across another hurdle, you slip again. So you don't have a sound understanding, number one. And nor are you on the course. And then you are chancing. You don't have a sound understanding. Number two, you're not on the course. When you're not on the course, can you take such a person as a leader? Can that person be mentoring you? Can he be guiding you? Can he be piloting you? So that's why the Tabligh Jamaat, he will tell you, why you don't do your own thing. You will refer to the Markaz. The Markaz also will say, you know, there's no individual decision here. You have to put in the mashwara. You know, there was
when Ibrahim Dura came about 5-6 years ago, so some of the Jamaat elders, he insist on him, he must come and have a program in the madrasa. Now I know for the age, it's not the right thing to do. Age, his health, but are they on my case? It's calling, calling. So just to go, you know, sometimes you do some things, just as a formality, I can tell them, you know, I went and asked. So he was in the Markaz, Hilal, the first serf, sitting on the chair. So now, some of those elders that were on my case, they were there also. Now, I just had to go through the formality. Why? Because they mustn't feel now that I didn't make that approach. Why didn't you invite him? He was just here at your doorstep. Why didn't you invite him? Then, sometimes it happens that people have they have a doubt about you. So, to cover the doubt, you have to do it. Because they say, no, you've got no respect for the Jamaat or for the elders. That's what they'll say. But sometimes these things you do make considerations for. Al-Mu'tami Sahib Rahmatullah says that sometimes I'm in a gathering, right, there's an elder there, and the others are kissing the hand of that elder. And I have no feeling to do it. Now that kiss is to show a lot of love, intense love. When I'm not going to do it, then they say I don't have the respect and that muhabbat for that elder. Just to avoid that suspicion, I just want to kiss that hand. Now sometimes that happens. Now on my case, every day, one time, second time, third time, fourth time. Now how to overcome this? So eventually I say, let me go face to face and ask him. But more than the reply, more than a positive response, what I liked is he impressed the importance of a mashwara. He says, ye baat ab hum mashwara mein rakh lenge. Had he seen me not will come, I wouldn't have been so happy. And we said, hum ye baat ko mashwara mein rakhenge. That really fascinated me. So listen now, that, see, he's the most elder now, as we see in the whole Jamaat fraternity, he seems to be the eldest, right? Allah Bhagavan is the eldest. But that's how we view him, right? But in spite of his seniority and all whatever, he had the heart to say, ye baat, aapki baat. So he didn't, like, snub me, or just outright, flatly, just reject. He said, we'll suggest to the mashwara, see what they have to say. So I like that. It's a lifelong lesson. Sometimes you hear something, the distinction in your mind, you understand, this is a lesson I must take, let's hold to it. See the importance. So the Jamaat can go well. You know, I've been saying this 25, 30 years ago. Provided they've got two things. The two things that they must have is they must have no other agenda, no material agenda. Right, we have a program here, to see us right. That see us right may not be so open, but discreetly, see me right, we'll have the program by yourself, by your place. So, no material agenda, nothing, absolutely. And number two is, the second thing for this thing to prosper, is everybody must surrender themselves to the mashwara, from the highest to the lowest, then this thing can work. You can't crack in it. So you've got 20 members, right? I can bribe this person, I can bribe the second person, but 20 different people, can you bribe them? That's why Rasulullah advised, Ali Adhani asked, come across a time where you don't find a precedent in the Quran Sharif or in your Mubarak teachings. What do we do? So Rasulullah, his hidayat was, his instruction was, that you will take mashwara, but from whom? From two classes of people. One is fuqaha, right? The different words, some is ulama, some is fuqaha. Obviously the ulama you mean those people that have proper, good, sound understanding. Not just you have some understanding in something, you know. Overall, you have an overview of the entire deen, but a very sound, very perfect understanding. And number two is abideen, people that have dedicated them, so you can see a good level of sincerity, because their minds are just towards the hereafter. You're worried about everything else. Who's got more following, less following, bigger jamaat, smaller jamaat, they are concerned. وَلَا تُفْدُوا فِيهَا بِرَأَيْنْ خَاسَّةً. And don't take an independent decision. So now what is happening now is that we see now the following. What's the following here? What's the following here? But now what we need to understand is, was that the gauge that was shown by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or the Quran Sharif? وَإِنْ تُطِئْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. You want to go with people's thinking, they will mislead you. If you want to go with people's thinking, then they're going to mislead you. لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب ولو أعجبك كثرة الخبيث. Filth and purity aren't alike. Even though the abundance of filth may impress you, it's so much, so much, so many, right? So the abundance may impress you, but you don't go by that. لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب. So you don't go by numbers. You're just counting so many percent, somebody. And you feel you're prosperous because of the number of people that are with you. Or not. Is that the gauge of Allah Ta'ala? If that was the gauge of Allah Ta'ala, very go by it. But if it's not the gauge of Allah Ta'ala, then the right thing is that look what is the gauge. Last week or so, the class now, the last 5 minutes, I allowed them to ask any questions. So one student asked, what is the indication of maqbooliyat? How do you make out that a certain person or a certain thing or a certain work is accepted? How do you make out? Right? I can see now, I can understand now, they're coming towards the end, and I suppose they don't want all the endeavor of this to go in waste. Right? So they want to hold on to something, they know, alright, this thing is on, this thing is got a recognition by Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala identifies with it. He recognizes it. So let's go with something that is safe and secure. So that was the question. That was the gist of the question. Like I said, ضَلَّ سَعْيُمْ وَيَحْوَمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُوا سُنَّةً. They all they made some efforts, but the efforts are gone in vain. So now the general take in this day is about two, three things, right? One is abundance. وَلُوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ. The abundance of filth may impress you. But Allah Pak says both are not the same. Then what's the gauge? Then go with the gauge. Now, Allah Pak works in ways that we may not understand straight away. The results may just come later on. Like you look at our silsila, reaching up from Hadith up to Miyajin Nur Muhammad Sabrah. Following is very little. He's following, maybe less than 1500 people, right? Because he's following. But now, what level of sincerity and love he must have had, that after they prevailed over the world, if you look at Ta'lim, then it's his silsila. Look at Tabligh, it's his silsila. Right? Then if you look at Tasawuf, it's his silsila. If you look at Jihad, it's his silsila. But the one man, and how dynamic he must have been, alright, he didn't see it in his lifetime, but it came out. كَمَثَلِ الْغَيْسِ الْقَسِيرِ. The example that Allah Pak shows is كَمَثَلِ الْغَيْسِ الْقَسِيرِ. Like, you know, the mission that I'm sent with, the mission, my message that I'm receiving, it's like rain, right? Heavy rain, right? So that heavy rain will have different responses. The different lands will have different response. All the land will not respond in the same way. Number one. Number two is, some lands may show the results straight away. And some lands will show results but with time. Right? Some lands will show results straight away, and some lands will show results but with time. Like if you're planting tomatoes, onions, right, straight away you'll get the results. Fudina, dhania, then you'll get it straight away, right? Sugarcane, every year, maybe two crops you're getting every year, right? So you will get the results, and you'll get the results straight away. And some lands, they're receiving the water, right? But the results come after 3 years, 5 years. Right? They don't come straight away. Zafran, about 3 years, 4 years. It's about the most expensive commodity. Right? It's growing from the earth, but the most expensive. But it takes about 3-4 years to grow. It doesn't come out straight. But any comparison with tomatoes and onions, zafran and tomatoes, onions, any comparison. So it took so long, but now you think, hey, but now what's the good in this thing here? It's only producing after 3-4 years. But that just 1 gram of the zafran may be more expensive than 30 kilos of tomatoes. Yes, 30 kilos of tomatoes, this 1 gram. But this is more expensive than this. So now, don't be impressed with this thing. وَلُعَجَبَكَ كَسْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ Abundance. One person brought, he had a roaring business. He must have made up a couple of millions, he must have made. You know, hundreds of millions, because he had imported wine. Now that wine, if you only knew the Arab culture, pre-Islamic, there are over 300 varieties. Like every day, every second day, night is different, evening is different, this occasion is different, this, so much. So he had a roaring business, so much he made, right? 100, 200 million he made. And now he's asking Rasulullah Paksa Tarsan, when he hears the prohibition, that if I give all this away in charity then, in Hajj, in Jihad, all this, you know. So I mixed up everything, halal, haram, everything, and now I'm going to give out all in charity. Said, all this, if you give everything away, it won't be even equivalent to the wing of a mosquito. وَلُوَعَجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ The abundance of filth may impress you, but does another recognize it? So what you need to see, those boys are asking, well, how do you make out that this is accepted? So it's a valid question, and at this time of their age and their life, this becomes very important. So how do you make out? So Allah put in my mind, I answered them, see, I said, a person gains recognition in two ways. One is if the recognition and that acceptance come from above, and one is it comes from the ground. The recognition that is recognized by Allah Ta'ala is the one that comes from above. Then I quoted the hadith, when Allah loves a person, so Nada Jibreel, he announces to Jibreel Islam, that uhibbu fulanan fa uhibbahu. That I love a certain person, so you also love him. Then Jibreel Islam, then he announces amongst the malaika that Allah Pak loves such a person, you also love him. Then nazalahu lahul qubul fi dunya. Then that acceptance comes down on earth. But where it came from above. So our ulama explained hadith, they say that how you make out the acceptance is you see that person and at which point the acceptance came from above. The pious people, ulama, righteous people, at first they took claim, and then it filtered down, and then people, the masses, the public took claim afterwards. But first was who? Righteous, ulama, pious, students, this type of people, they were the first people that took to him. And then slowly it came down, and then the masses, the public took on to him. So now that's a sign that this is, inshallah, endorsed. But if it came the other way around, if that acceptance came from the ground, people are impressed, like, he's coming on YouTube, he's coming here, crowds that he's attracting, right? It came from here, right? Then, says now it comes from here, then after some times, then some righteous people also get connected. But he says this is suspect. Because the righteous people that take on here at this point, they took on because perhaps they were impressed with the numbers he's here. See the talks he's giving, and see people are getting motivated and driven. But where it's starting from? It's starting from the ground. It's starting from the ground, so it doesn't have a divine endorsement. The one that is divinely endorsed comes from above. But the one that is coming from the ground, then the public took to the person, and then one person got impressed, some pious person, he got impressed, and he also got driven. But now that's not a divine endorsement. That's where we get off there. And that's why you'll find, many a time the person is attracting so many people, right? Right? He's an emotional or motivational speaker. But then after some time, then you see a different color of the person. First it was something else, now you see a different color of the same person. See? So there was, at some point, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ مِنَ آمَانْتُ مَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيسَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. So Allah Pak won't leave things just like that lying. He'll bring about a situation, حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيسَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. The filth will separate from the pure. He'll bring about a situation. He won't tell you, okay, this is the pure and this is the filth. He won't tell you. But what he'll do is he'll bring about a situation, and that situation will prove to you that this is the right and this is the wrong. Now look at the battle of Uhud, right? This will substantiate. So everything is going well. Opposition got 3,000. Yeah, Muslim got 1,000, right? Crunch time now, and they're seeing how well prepared these people are. At crunch time, it's the same Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, right? He says, you know, you all didn't listen to me, so there's no need for me to be participating. He moved away with 300 or more than 300 people. Now the Muslims are left against an odd of, they are 700 against 3,000. More than three times the size. That's all they left with. So at crunch time they leave you. They leave you with the lurch. See that when he said, نَخْشَى أَن تُصِيبَنَا نَخْشَى أَن تُصِيبَنَا دَائِرَ. See what he said? نَخْشَى أَن تُصِيبَنَا دَائِرَ. But now see what happens here. See that? How the colors come out. He said the نَخْشَى أَن تُصِيبَنَا دَائِرَ. And then here when the Muslims are, they really need some help. And at that prime time, crucial time, and he just abandons, moves out. Then how he ends up? He ends up like this. Same Abdullah ibn Ubay. He's towards the end. His son is a pious Muslim. But now, up till now, he's not been exposed that he's a kafir and he's the ra'is of the munafiqin. He's not yet exposed. Right? So his son is sincere, and he instructs his son to call Rasulullah. And in spite of all the uphill he had given to Muslims and to Islam, but now Nabi Sallam was Rahmatulil Alameen, Rahmat Mujassam, right? In Rahmat Mujassam, he went. Now, he would have said, you know, لَنُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُ. You were the person who said, we are the elite. We will remove all these downtrodden, remove them from Medina. So we are the elite. We call the shots here. We got the clout. We'll remove you. So all these things he said. But now, at this pitiful state, Rasulullah some still responds, comes to him. Rasulullah start advising him. Perhaps now, the last moment, something comes into his mind. He said, see, I warned you, don't befriend the kafirs, the Jews, don't befriend them. So he says, you know, I didn't ask you, I didn't call you here to come and advise me. I didn't come, see, and he says, see, you know, you are telling me that I mustn't befriend the Jews, right? I must move away from them. And look at Asad ibn Zurara, when he heard the verse, لَا تَتَّخِذُوا عَدُوِي وَعَدُوَكُمْ أَوْلِيَا, don't take my enemies and your enemies as friends. Then he broke away. So when he broke away, did he become immune to death? Did it indemnify him from death? He had to die. Now you can understand this thing here. What he felt that it's like an indemnity against death. And this life here, nobody got an indemnity against death. You have to go. You came this way, you have to go. But that was not what was being spoken about. It's about now you moving away, when you're moving away in a very pitiful state, that you don't have iman, right? it's really, really horrible what your future going to be. Or phir bhi, you know, that aankh nahi khulti, that eyes don't open. So that's the meaning of Inna Allah la yahdil qawm al-salimin. Allah Ta'ala pulled away that hidayat. See the type of friendship you had. So at the right at the end also, it's Nabi Sam's advising, but the advice, in spite of him being Rahat, Rahmat and Mujassam, and wishing well for the whole world, right? But that could not just penetrate his heart, because la yahdil qawm al-salimin. He's wrong. You associate with them. You befriended them, you associate with them, and now see the ending. The ending also, still that brains can't open up. The mind can't open up. He speaks on Malfuz. One of the Malfuz had seen all the things here. But now it's like a refresher. Muzwanadin, there was, every time you look at it, it's a new lesson. You get a new lesson. So I read through these things here. But now it's my habit, let me go and get through it. There will be a lot of other exciting kitabs to look at. The kitab is not for excitement. For you to get two things, get the right understanding of deen, number one. And number two is get the right application, the right association. And you got a lot of abundance of information. But you don't have the proper line. Information you got a lot. But you can't see the right line. Or you don't know how to apply yourself rightly. Or your association is not right. I ask you, that abundance of information, is it of any good? You got so much, but you don't have the line. See, you know, the whole world, all the roots, the A roots, you know of all, right? Right. You know all the roots. Now, you got abundance of information, this root here, that root, you can take this, you can take that, right? So much. But now, at that crucial moment, you don't know which one to take. You got so much, but you don't know at that moment what to take. Your mind is all in a muddle. So you don't know what to take. But your whole take was, get that information, so much, so much, so much, and so much. But his mind is not guiding him. He's got that wealth, but the mind is not guiding him as to what stroke I must take. How? So he's got so much, but then, that same wealth becomes a problem. He has so much, but that same wealth, in place of it being a blessing, it became a problem. So you see this, Ubay ibn Salul, right? He had so much here, so many opportunities, but then he wished for the wrong. When he wished for the wrong, right till the end, Muslim is trying to get him, but his mind would not just go, not just accept. So, as we know, our time is Mahfuz. One is the mashayikh and their teaching, right? That's very important. But what's more important than the teaching? So in his words, muhabbat or sohbat. His exact words, muhabbat or sohbat. So the teaching is very important. You not underrate the teaching. But he says what's even more important than everything else is the level of muhabbat, how much have you invested in muhabbat, and how much have you invested in suhbat. That would really count. When I read that malfuz, I'm thinking, alright, how does it apply? Because in Buzugaradin, most of what they're saying is ilhami. I mean, most, I won't say everything, but a lot of it is ilhami, is inspiration they've received. So then how does it apply? So muhabbat khud tujhe adab muhabbat sikha degi. When you got that strong muhabbat, then muhabbat will guide you. Then you don't need anything else. Because that muhabbat is sincere, it's strong. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. It's not just a muhabbat, but it's a very, very strong bond for Allah Ta'ala or for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. For Allah Ta'ala. And what's done for the sake of Allah Ta'ala will lead you to Allah Ta'ala. Yeah, you don't see Allah Ta'ala, but you have to catch on to a vehicle that will take you to Allah Ta'ala. So you are born with that vehicle, must be very strong. Ashaddu hubban lillah. So if your bond is very strong, then things just open up for you. Because Allah Ta'ala is watching, where is your heart? Al mar'u ma'a man ahabba. See, who you love, then Allah Ta'ala links you up, he opens your ways to him. But then the love must be, you must invest in that love and invest in that association. Right? So to the extent of your investment is the returns. So therefore you'll see now that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, right, when Nabi Sam speaks about Abu Bakr, لَكُنْتُ مُتَّخِذًا خَلِيلًا لَتَّخَسْتُ أَبَا بَكْرًا. Had I taken a friend, I would have taken Abu Bakr. Now what do you mean by Khalil? Khalil means, according to Muhaddisin, right? How to explain this thing here? See, you'll have a lot of attachment to a lot of things. I like this kurta, I like coke, I like the bride, I like the shoes. So, there's attachments. Hawal ahibba minhu fi sawdai. But there's a special love, very, very special love. The special love is right in the recess. That love is so, so, so strong that there is no partner in that. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ اتَّخَذَنِي خَلِيلًا. Allah has made me His Khalil. So now, my heart is full, is brimming just with the love of Allah. That heart, the heart that is filled, right, that recess of the heart is only with Allah. But then, وَلَكِنْ أُخُوَّةُ الْإِسْلَامِ. Now what it means by أُخُوَّةُ الْإِسْلَامِ? The meaning of Ukhuwat Islam means that according to the strength of your Islam, according to the commitment, the firmness, the love of Islam, right? According to the strength, the love and muhabbat of Islam will be the Ukhuwat. You want a bond with Rasulullah SAW. According to the strength, according to the commitment, according to the love that's required, you invest in that, then that will be the level of ukhuwat of Rasulullah SAW with you. Ukhuwat, brotherhood, right? So you want a brotherhood, you want to link up there. Now how? So someone is basing it on a dream, someone is basing it on something else. But the hadith saying, walakin ukhuwatul Islam. That love that you want, that special love, that is based on the level of commitment you have given to Allah Ta'ala, to His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then to his friends. Because they are the friends, right? The friend will lead you to the ultimate. Because he's taken them as friends. Why he's taken them as friends? He's taken them as friends because of them being Hanif. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ وَلَكِنْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. Now what's the meaning of Hanif? Hanif means سب سے الگ ہو کر کے اس کی طرف دل لگانا. What? سب سے الگ ہو کر کے اسی کی طرف دل لگانا. You broke away from everybody and your heart is just there. Nowhere else. Your heart is just by him. Nothing else crowds your mind. Nothing else occupies your mind. Nothing is just him. So this muhabbat grows like that. You see, it grows. And the Sahaba Kiram, first it was the muhabbat within themselves. Ruhama'u bainahum, right? And then it escalated to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. See that? Makhluk. And then to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But we have to follow the same staircase. So, first is the person, a general the love in Muslims, you make Islam, etc., right? Then that muhabbat then grows. Then that grows to the Shaykh. And that's why that person is called Fanafish Shaykh. Right. He can't see anything else. Anything else now doesn't it doesn't stimulate him, it doesn't influence him, it doesn't affect him. First, that's the first stage. See, like you want to go into Dora, then you say, alright, you have to get into Adadia first. No, I must go to Dora straight. Will you ever be able to do justice there? But now, you don't want to follow the series. There's a whole series. That series has to be followed. Going to Adadia, Allah will take you slowly. Second, third, fourth. Eventually you'll get there. So same here. You'll have to have that muhabbat amongst the Muslims, because you'll have to have a nushu li kulli Muslim. must wish well for everybody. But then when you are solid in that, the Allah takes you into the muhabbat of the Shaykh. Because your heart got no, there's no filth in the heart. The heart's got no filth, got no dirt. Nothing, absolutely, no reservation. It's clean. When it's clean now, then Allah allows you to have that association with the Shaykh. Ilyas asked Mustafa today, ye mashayikh jo apne logon ko ijazat dete hai, maloom hai ki kya cheez hai, what is this? So no, Hazrat, mujhe maloom nahi, I don't know. This is murid, he is so much for his shaykh now that his whole mind is occupied that how must I please and get the muhabbat. His whole mind is occupied like that of the shaykh. So when he's now matured in that, when he's filled with capacity with that, then at that point the shaykh says, see, Mu'ajjaz is saying, see the type of muhabbat and the kindness you showed me. The muhabbat and the kindness that you showed me, the commitment you showed to me. Ab Allah Ta'ala ki tamam makhlukat ke saath isi kisam ka taluk rakho. At this point now, the point of love, commitment, service that you show for me, I'll show the same to the rest of the creation of Allah Ta'ala. Muhabbat tujhe khud adab muhabbat sikha dehi. Most I can say. I can't say beyond that. Otherwise, muhabbat in my hands are given to everybody. There's a point I can reach. I can't go beyond that.